Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by The Wargaming Company. Wish you could play a great Napoleonic's wargame that's different from the same old stuff? Try ESR. ESR makes Napoleonic's accessible, a complete system with you as a core commander. Start an army with ESR box sets or use your existing collection. It's meaty enough for diehards, but friendly for newcomers. Visit thewargamingcompany.com. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. Today, we are going to be talking about some cool gaming products, and I am, of course, joined by my buddy and co-host, Mr. Adrian Benson. Adrian, how are you?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks.
You sounded for a change. My goodness.
What do you mean for a change?
There was enthusiasm in your voice.
Oh, well...
What's wrong? Are you okay?
There's nothing wrong, but we were talking about eating lunch soon, so of course I'm enthusiastic.
Food. Who doesn't love food? No one, I hope.
I would hope not. So, did you tell people where we're at today?
I did not. Why don't you do that?
No. You're the host guy. I'm the color person. But we're at the Makers Game Fair in Amherst, Massachusetts.
We are not at the Makers Game Fair in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Where are we, John?
We are at the Makers Game Fair in Amherst, New Hampshire, at the Amherst Middle School.
That's what I said.
You said Massachusetts.
I did say Massachusetts. We're definitely not in Massachusetts.
You admitted it. Yes, it's on tape. So everyone, we have it on recording that Adrian was wrong.
Well, except that we'll have our crack audio editor take that out.
Yeah, I don't think he'll do that. I think... that we'll have Joshua just love that it's in there and keep it for all of us. But this is the first time they've done a whole game fair like this. They do game days, right?
They do game days. He's been doing it for a while, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like an actual mini convention, you could call it. We've got vendors, number of game tables, all kinds of stuff going on, food vendors. So, yeah.
It's really cool. There's tons of games happening. There's demos all day. And their actual makerspace is beautiful. Everything from cooking to woodworking, 3D printing, and everything in between. It's attached to the middle school, but its own separate kind of facility, and just it's wonderful.
Yeah, very impressive. We took a quick walkthrough earlier, and yeah, really an impressive space that they've got going on back there. Quite a bit different from, like, well, of course, I was in high school like 150 years ago, but very different from, you know, the typical quote-unquote shop class kind of thing.
Yeah, no, you're right. And they have us set up. The main gaming and vendor space appears to be the cafeteria, and we're on stage. It's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool.
I feel all official and everything, and like there's the stage lights above us, and everyone's just kind of going around.
There's a possibility they wanted us away from the general populace for some reason. I don't know.
Just maybe a slight one. Like they thought, we don't know if we want to trust these people near anything. Just put them off in the corner, yeah. And maybe people will forget about them. Yeah. Last time, I reviewed the Killing Field Terrain Classic Grassland mat. It's a teddy bear fur mat, and you weren't able to be on the recording.
Nope, I was not.
But some people have said that they wanted to hear your thoughts about the mat. So I thought, why don't we start things off with you talking about how you feel about the Killing Field Terrain Classic Grassland Teddy Bear Fur Mat, which is distributed in North America by the Wargaming Company.
It's great.
Well, thank you very much. So that's been our episode today, folks. Be sure to share and like and subscribe. Hit that notifications bell icon.
I was going to get it and pull
go
it up here, but
mic.
we don't have a camera, so never mind.
But you can feel it and talk about the texture and how soft and snuggly it is, and it'd be great for a blanket. And that would be me talking.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk like that about a game mat because that's ludicrous. But it is very nice, well made and quality, not quite a teddy bear fur mat, I guess, but if you've seen teddy bear fur mats, it's similar to that. So it's got the nice long fibers that you can brush. They'll stand up, and it looks like a real grassy plain field, whatever you want to call it. Very nice. I don't have one myself. We were sent one to review. I'll probably end up buying one, though. I do like it.
One of the things I said last time was that all of the teddy bear fur mats I've ever seen have basically been homemade, generally.
Yeah, for the most part.
And I've been less than impressed with them, mainly because, like, when you figure you got to buy the teddy bear fur, and then people usually paint it, right? So they're putting the paint on, and then you get these thick globs of paint on it, and the color's really uneven, and it's get, like, gloopy and sticky, so some parts get, like, crusty, and it just... Like, it's okay, like, if that's what you're going to do, but it doesn't... The ones I've seen, they haven't done well. Whereas this is, like, the antithesis... For me, it's the antithesis of that.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's a commercial product. I mean, I've seen some really good homemade teddy bear fur mats, too, as far as that goes. But the big thing with the homemade mat is, for me, you got to home make it, and I don't want to. And now I don't have to.
Yeah, it's a lot of work if you're going to make them at home and try to do it all. With this one, they actually do this whole triple dyeing method. Mm-hmm. So as you get closer to the base of the fur, it's darker.
It's darker.
You get that nice gradient going on.
Yeah, and you'll notice that as you brush your hand over it. And it gives it more of a realistic look.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really neat that... like. Some of you may have seen pictures of this online, and I've heard like that if you see pictures, you might think that there's many different versions, like, oh, you want the yellow mat, you want the green one, or whatever. It's all the same mat. It's just, it depends on the lighting. And so it just kind of shows the depth of quality of the, to me, for the paint job in it.
Or the dye job, rather. Yeah, it does, yeah, because it depends on the type of light you're under, how the light's hitting it and whatnot. But yeah, it is all the same mat, so.
The price point I thought was pretty decent, $60.
The price point, I think, is really good compared to some other mats out there. Yeah, I mean, $60 is, I would almost go so far as to call it cheap.
I will say that's the price from the Wargaming Company. It's a little bit more if you go direct.
Yeah.
And, of course, I think if you go into the Wargaming Company, you got to go for the free shipping. So just buy $200 worth of ESR stuff and the mat.
And the mat together, yeah. And
then you get free shipping, you get a lot of things. Were there any things that maybe you thought could be improved on the mat? Pull the mat on over.
No, it's fine the way it is. Off the top, I would say no, not really. I mean, I didn't use it to take a nap with the way you did, but,
I love that that's a thing.
But no, I suppose if you wanted to, and it wouldn't necessarily improve the mat that we have here in front of us, but it might actually be kind of nice to see some other color variations, but that's just a variety and, you know, the product, not an improvement of the product. So, but no, I think it, and especially for the price, I don't think you can go wrong with it.
I think you're right. I mean, it wouldn't be an improvement, but it'd be nice for them to enhance their product line by offering some different color variations.
Yeah, you could have one that would be more of a yellow or ochre color.
Yeah,
like
something a little more arid,
plain kind of thing. I don't know. But aside from that, I mean, it's easy for us to sit here and say that, too. Who knows what all is involved in the production of it.
But that's our job. Our job is to be like, hey, what about this? That's true.
Other people do things. We just critique them.
We just talk.
It's not a bad job.
We just talk here.
But again, I can't really call it a job until I start getting paid. So.
One of these days, if enough of you buy the Killing Field Terrain Grassland and Matt from... the Wargaming Company, we will get more money someday. So go on out and keep us on the air and buy the mat so Adrian can go out and afford a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that would be nice. But anyway, yeah, two thumbs up for the Killing Fields of Matt from me. I like it a lot.
That's great. I was really prepared to hate it because...
Yeah, you're not a fan.
I don't love teddy bear fur mats generally. And I don't hate it. I really like this mat. It's the best teddy bear fur mat I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd go to be as exuberant about that as I would or not, but...
If I'm being completely honest, I've seen some homemade ones that were better, but that's a guy doing a one-off and taking, you know, boatloads of time to put the exact mat together that he wanted in turn. And, you know, he had the roads cut in it and all kinds of... It really was gorgeous. This is certainly the best commercially available one I've seen.
Well, and I think that's the thing, you're right. Like, if you have the skills and you're making one at home, this isn't quite the same, but, like, you're not also selling them if you're making one at home. And even if you are, the price point would be astronomical.
Yeah, if you were doing it all, yeah, that would be crazy. But yeah. And like I say, just for a general purpose gaming mat, the price point, the $60 price point, I think is really good. In fact, it might be unbeatable. I'm just sitting here trying to think. I'd have to do a quick internet search. But it's pretty inexpensive compared to the other options out there.
I'm not aware of any other tabletop gaming mat that's cheaper. I could be wrong. Like, maybe a fat mat might be cheaper. I don't know. But, like, other ones that are teddy bear fur or more of this fabric kind of stuff, they're more money.
Yeah.
As far as I know. So I'm not quite aware of any, but I think you might be right. I think it might be a cheaper price point, and I think that was the plan to try to go lower, to try to get people to give it a try.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good idea because it's part of the whole ESR system, right? You know, it's like
true
one-stop shopping kind of thing. So it's you might as well have the mat too, and it's a good mat. So yeah,
it's smart. Now, what kind of games would you imagine playing it on? Like for you personally?
Oh, literally anything. I mean, it's a grass mat, so it'll do.
So for, like Black Seas, you put your ship on.
Okay, so not literally anything, but you know, you could use it for any of your. Any tabletop game where you need a field or a, you know, just normal earth would be fine for that. So, you know, all the usual suspects, right? Black powder, bold action, all the usual suspects would be fine for that.
No, I think you're right. It's a beautiful mat, and I'm glad you got a chance to see it in person and share some thoughts about it.
Yeah, I will order one for myself the next time I chuck an order towards ESR. So, yeah, no, it's nice. I like it.
Yeah, it's really good. So I want to thank the Wargaming Company for sending us a review copy of it. It got to us very fast. And I will say that if you order one from them, I'm sure you'll get very quick shipping on it as well. And should anything be wrong with your mat or you have any issues, I'm not expecting that you would, but if you do, their customer service is fantastic. So just get in touch with them, and they can make things right. They do customer service how it should be done, actually. Yeah. Not everyone does, right?
Not everyone does, that is for certain.
I mean, we've encountered some doozies.
One standout, yes.
On the West Coast, who I'm not going to name.
Which will not be named, but yeah.
Just, oh man, that was terrible customer service.
It was.
Just awful.
Not quite the worst, but boy, it was right up there.
I think it was my worst, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Well, you've been luckier than me then.
But... Like, my worst for dealing with the show, I think it's been...
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I mean, elsewhere in my life, I've had far terrible ones, but no, for the show, I think it's up there.
Yeah, apropos of nothing, I'm getting far worse customer service from my bank right now, but never mind.
Well, that's what I was thinking of for you. Yeah, your bank's not doing so great.
No, might have a new bank here soon.
So if you want to be Adrian's bank, and you have a bank... Get in touch. Reach out to us anywhere.
Or if you just have a boatload of money you want to loan me.
Or give. Why loan? We're friends here, right?
Oh, of course we are.
If you want to give Adrian a boatload of money, you can keep the boat. Just give him the money. Reach out to him on Twitter, abenson229 on Twitter.
And on that note...
We should talk about another mat.
We should talk about some more gaming stuff. Yes, go ahead.
So, the kind people at Cigar Box Battle are doing a Kickstarter right now, which will be finishing up soonish. And they have a brand new plush mat. And you and I have used their previous mats.
Yep.
And love them.
Yep.
And then, about what, maybe a year ago, was it? That we heard that they were no longer offering their plush mats because they... weren't able to get that material anymore. It was a short teddy bear fur kind of thing is what they called it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go so far as to call it teddy bear fur. I guess that's what they called it. But yeah, it was
like a fleecy kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to describe it.
Longer fleece, maybe?
Yeah, they're pretty nice. I mean, it didn't give you that standing grass field effect that like the Killing Fields mat we were just talking about gives you. But it does give the ground some texture, which is nice, as opposed to just a flat piece of felt or prop, you know, whatever.
Mouse pad material
they use, so...
Yeah.
Very nice mats.
But then when they lost the distributor for getting that material, they had to come up with something new. And so they have this satin mat material, which is what they kickstarted now. You can get double-sided mats. It's $99 a mat. That's American. And they sent us a review copy. So I want to begin by thanking Corey and Chris over at Cigar Box Battle. And what do you think about it?
I like it. It's as good as the other mats. I would say, and this is like the new, quote-unquote, new plush. Doesn't seem to me to be quite as plushy as the older ones, which is too bad. But the advantage to that is, apparently with this new material that they're using, they can print these double-sided. And I don't believe they were able to do that with the older ones.
Yeah, with the old ones, they had to be really selective on the designs because they would be bleed through.
Yeah.
And I remember when they did their first double-sided Kickstarter, I think I wanted like a tundra kind of thing. And they were like, no, we can't do any snow, we can't do any of this other stuff because it would bleed through. This, like you said, there is no bleed through. For me, because, again, it's a thing, it's very, very soft. It might be the second most softest mat I've ever felt, right behind their old plush mat. And I don't think they call this plush. I keep on referring to it as a plush mat, and whenever I say that to them, they're always like, well, yeah, it's kind of like our new plush mat, but I don't think they use that in any of their branding or on their website or whatever.
No, I didn't see it there anywhere, which is fine, because like I say, if we're comparing plushiness, is that a word?
It is now.
Between this one and the old actual plush mat, you know, there's a definite difference. But that said, You do still have, a textured look and feel to the ground on this new mat. So it's fine. It's fine.
You can go against the grain and it gets a little ruffled. I love it. My one, I guess, minor wish for change would be kind of like how you said, because it's satin, it's a little bit of a gloss finish to it.
It is a little shiny, yeah.
Which I'm not sure how I feel about that.
And it could be we're under these gym...
Yeah, these gigantic lights.
Massive, so that could be part of it, too.
We're on stage. So I don't know. I mean, I've been living with it for a while. My eldest daughter loves it as a blanket, and I had to tear it away from her when she wasn't looking to bring it today. That's probably not great parenting, but I had to get it somehow. It's going to go live in her room, and I'd never see it again.
Oh, my word.
So I'm buy it because your kid's going to use it as a blanket, or... Maybe, unlike me, you'll be successful in getting your spouse to say it's okay to put it on the bed as a blanket.
Or maybe you could just buy it as a gaming mat.
That's what I guess. Gorgeous designs, right?
It is a nice design. So the one we've got here, it's got, on one side, it has some farm fields. It has a road. And on the reverse side, it's a Caribbean island, which is very nice. So it's got the island proper with dark terrain. I wish we had a camera. Why didn't you bring a camera? It's got the island proper.
You got a camera. You took video.
It's got the island proper with dark terrain, and then around the edges of it, there's the light sand, and then it's the coral blue sea with, like, white caps and everything in it. It's really very nice.
It is really nice.
It's similar to, but I would say more detailed and better than the old Caribbean island mat.
Yeah, and, I mean, all of their... current designs are able to go on this, and then they do have new designs that you can get that are able to go on this as well. And I think the real benefit is, because of the new material, you can get any design you want, and it's double-sided, and you don't have to worry about the bleed through. I think that's a huge plus.
Yeah.
The $99 price point is on par with what they charge. I think that's what they've been, $99 per double-sided mat. I think last time that's what they did.
Yeah.
And single-sided mats are less. I think they're like 79, 76, something like that.
Yeah, you have to check the website, but yeah, they're not nearly as expensive.
So like, that's always an option if you don't want a double-sided mat. You don't have to worry about such a thing. But they have like designs for everything. They got a great design if you want to play some Gaslands or Car Wars. They have...
Yeah, they've got the post-apocalyptic urban terrain stuff. They have...
they got a new...
I don't know what they call it. It looks like a dirt track kind of a thing.
They got one for, like, if you're doing some Kings of Rome, that would be great. Stalingrad, they actually have now. It's for 2 or 6 mil for people.
Oh.
So what rule set would you use with that, actually?
For which?
2 or 6 mil for Stalingrad.
Well, it would... 2 mil. I would never do 2 mil.
Well, what would a person use for 2 or 6 mil Stalingrad game to play on the mat?
I guess you would use 6 mil. I don't understand your question. Say it again, in English.
Like, what rule system?
Oh,
what
rule
game?
System. Geez, I don't know anything. You could use GHQ's house rules. I would be inclined to use Fistful and Toes myself.
Okay, there you go.
For 6 millimeter gaming. Yeah.
But they also have some new designs, so you can get an Urban Warfare mat, which I think would be really cool for Force on Force.
Yeah.
I know maybe not as many people play that.
If you can find Force on Force, but yeah.
Desert Warfare as well, so you could kind of recreate Black Hawk Down. They get a jungle action one, which is really cool. It reminds me of the San Juan Hill map that they have. So you get some nice jungle terrain. You've got a river or a stream, depending on your scale, going on with that as well. That's been unlocked. Highlands map, which I actually really love. It's like the grasslands, but it has more rockiness put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could just see that being great for anything, really. But Black Powder would be fantastic. They've taken the desert map, which I have, and they've upgraded it. So it's like a new desert kind of one, which is cool. So it'd be good for generic. They have one that'd be good with mechs called Titan War. And they've done a new space one that has like this cool nebula in the middle.
Oh, yeah, I forget about those. I don't do any space gaming, really. But, yeah, those are actually really nice.
And, like, I love this space stuff because, like, I'd want something for X-Wing. I still have X-Wing stuff. Or, like, if you play an Armada or Dropship Commander or, like, any of those. And then... This is one you'd like. This is for anywhere from 6 to 15 mil. So it'd be great for ESR. They got a map for Battle of Marengo.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous, right? It fits in. Things look fantastic. They got a cool cowboy one called Rattlesnake Ranch. And just like a variety of these kind of things. And then they got a new whole set of all their basic lineups. So you can go everything from desert to like a scrubland to more of a grassland. And they just have all sorts of amazing designs and everything.
Yeah.
So I think if you love mats, for me, Cigarbox Battle has always been my number one gaming mat company. I've tested others. I mean, we've dealt with Playmats.eu, which is cool. If you like mouse pet mats, if you want a teddy bear fur mat kind of design, I think Killer Field mat is probably the best I've seen for a commercially available.
Yeah, I'll say that Cigarbox Battle, that was the first tabletop battle mat that I actually purchased. Before them, I did what everybody does and just used the piece of green felt kind of a thing. They were the first ones that I liked enough to actually spend my own money on. So before that, it was either green felt from the craft store or whatever the game store had on hand.
I'll tell you, when I did the whole green felt thing, I remember I was so proud when you guys came over. I was like, I get green felt if we're doing this, I get blue felt for this, and a black if we're doing space or whatever. But then when Alex had talked about Cigarbox Battle, I was like, who are these people and what is this? And when I got my first mat and put it on the table, I was like, now I feel like a professional. Like, I felt like, and it's kind of silly, right?
Yeah.
But at the same point, it shows how for a relatively affordable cost when it comes to gaming stuff, how you can put that on, and that can take care of all your gaming needs. And so the new mats are the same thing. They're 4x6 foot mats, but they're actually larger than that so that you can put stuff underneath, and you can get the nice elevation going on. You can have that kind of stuff happening. And they do a really good job of it. The designs are great. They're washable. You can throw them in the washing machine on gentle cycle is what I believe they told me.
Yeah.
Don't dry them, though. You got to air dry, I believe. And so they can clean, and I know people love the mouse pad mats, so you can just wipe clean for beverages and stuff, but these you can actually wash like you would with your clothes, and I'd probably wash it by itself and not with anything else, but you can do that.
Yeah.
So I think they're great mats, and I know we've talked about the kind of glossy finish. I think that's a personal preference sort of thing, and I'm ambivalent.
It is, and I just want to make it clear, it's not horrible, it's not like you're looking at the sun reflected off of a mirror or something like that.
Yeah, it's not like someone sprayed glass varnish.
Yeah, it's just and I might even be wrong. We're not comparing this one side to side with one of the old ones, but
we can
It just seems like a little bit shinier than the older designs to me. I don't know.
And you know, I guess when you call something and say it's a satin finish, I mean that's what. Well,
yeah,
it is. Kind
of, yeah, exactly.
So it's in the name, and I don't know why I was surprised by that and why I didn't even notice.
Yeah, that's actually true.
So it's right there.
So
it's,
disregard all that. But
it's really nice. Anything that you don't like about it, or you think could be improved, or because I'm having
not particularly. I'll say that with the one we have here that has the fields and the roads and everything on it already. I know a lot of people love those. I'm less inclined to spring for one with that particular design, just because even if you've got that stuff etched on the mat or printed on the mat, you're still going to put terrain down. I mean, it's not. Yeah, I mean that's the only thing. But here again, that's just the design. If you don't care for that, don't get that one.
Yeah, pick a different design.
Yeah,
and I think the big value for something like that can be that. Like, if you don't have all the stuff, or you're just starting out.
Well, yeah, that's
or you're
a
testing
fair
a new carry
yeah.
or something, that's
yeah,
a good
that's
way
a
to
fair
do
point.
It.
Yeah, if you don't.
But, I mean, I agree with you, because, like, for me,
you can't change the layout.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So, like, I have some fields and stuff from Wargamer's Terrain, and I would just be like, okay, I guess the field goes here, because that's where it is on the mat.
Yeah.
And buy a different mat. That's why, like, I agree the generic ones are really good. So, like, if you were only going to buy one, I would say do something more generic, I guess.
Yeah.
But with the double-sided, you could take a chance.
Yeah,
do
definitely.
Something generic on one.
Yeah, and then get one of the particular printed designs on the other, yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be a good way to go. But their Kickstarter does end soon. It's fully funded, so it's going to happen. It ends on Friday, October 25th.
Oh, very soon, then.
And they've raised almost $30,000 out of a $5,000 goal.
Cool.
So it's awesome. It's happening. The mats are done. And people will be getting all this stuff. So be sure to check it out. I'm recommending that people back it. What do you think, Adrian?
Yeah, I think so. Especially if you don't have any of them already.
Yeah, and you can get in for $99 to give you a double-sided mat. It ships anywhere in the world. And that $99 might include shipping, but don't quote me on that.
I'm not sure.
Because I'm not sure. A lot of things, they don't want you to do it on Kickstarter. But it might include shipping on that as well. And I love the mats. I love Cigar Box Battle.
Yeah, no, great products.
This has been a very mat-heavy episode.
It has. All we need now is a co-host named Matt.
So if you are named Matt and you want to be a co-host, please email jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. But actually, no, that's a great point. So, I mean, we do the show, right? And every so often, Alex will kind of join in if he can. He's busy with Rogues in the House,
yep.
Which I highly recommend. It's the first podcast you regularly listen to, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of only a few that I listen to regularly, and it's very good. Rogues in the House, you can get it all the places you get podcasts. It's sword and sorcery focused, specifically heavily on, you know, Robert E. Howard, Conan, that kind of thing. But they cover a broad range of topics, but all tied back in some way to sword and sorcery fiction or gaming.
So they're a really good show, but because he does that, he's not as available as often to come on.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, Adrian, but I'd love to have like another person who was a co-host who could rotate in sometimes who would just be interested in something.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it could take less on the burden on you sometimes.
Yeah, and it might be fun to like, you know, not have you on sometimes.
I'm all in favor of that. So I could just kind of sit at home and
So is this a recruiting call, a casting call? Is that what
I think so. So I think, if any of you have ever thought about maybe talking about the hobby and you're passionate and you want to give it a try, seriously, send an email to jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. We can talk about it. We're on social media, Facebook and stuff. Reach out because it'd be really cool. And we're also trying to get some moderators for our fan club group as well, just to kind of keep things interesting there and provide cool topics and stuff for people to check out and see. Mm. So if you're interested in that, be sure to reach out to us as well. And you know what?
And you'll be making the same generous salary that I make.
You know what? I'll double it. But actually, with all this free time I could get, by someone else being on with you instead of me, I could spend more time working on MDF kits.
You know what the problem with that is?
Yeah.
The problem with that is people expect and enjoy the cheesy intro and outro, and I ain't doing it.
But maybe the new person could do it, too.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
That might be criteria. You might have to just give that. And to be fair, and I know I've mentioned this before, but I have tried it without, and you've said it does not sound right.
No, it doesn't. You're right. It doesn't. But, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not capable of doing it.
You don't have all that inner joy that's just going to bubble out?
No, and I can't even fake it.
MDF. We ran a poll not long ago about what to call our new MDF segment.
You, like, are really into rough, bang, bang, change it up transitions today. There's no segue at all. It's just like we're talking about getting another person on the show, and then, bam, now we're talking about MDF.
Well, we were talking about how I can save time, and I can work on my MDF kits while you guys are doing the show.
So anyway, we did a poll searching for a name for the new MDF segment.
Sponsored by Things from the Basement.
Sponsored by Things from the Basement.
You're right.
And so, do you want to read all the names or just talk about the winner?
Well, they're all winners, aren't they? Because they took a chance and they engaged in the poll. People voted and the options were MDF Corner or something else. And if it was something else, they had to give a name. Not everyone did.
Yeah, they're not all winners because we can only pick one.
Okay, Ron Swanson.
So, the suggestions were all creative and appreciated, but they're not all winners.
Well, they all won in the challenge of life and being outgoing.
Okay, yeah, that's a challenge I don't always win, so yes.
You forget we're a family-friendly, inclusive podcast where everyone is welcome. And
everyone is welcome, not everyone gets a trophy.
But I want a trophy. I don't get a trophy. Where's my... Well, I can't complain. I got a challenge coin.
You do have a challenge coin. I just walked up and gave it to you.
From Captain Con. It's a challenge coin from 2019. Beautiful challenge coin. It's a thing that they do. Far nicer than our challenge coins. Ours are made out of MDF, but just a beautiful metal challenge coin.
This is metal, and it's sculpted, and it's heavy, and I'm probably just going to keep it and not give it back to John.
I thought you might. So we were trying to come up with a name for
the MDF segment
because for the
first sponsored by Things from the Basement.
Why, thank you. And for the first couple, we just kind of called it MDF Corner, and we're like, we need a better name. So a lot of people put in name options, and I don't know that we need to share all of them, but do you want to share some of the ones that kind of stood out for you that you really liked?
Yeah, I'll tell you the ones that I
let's
really
start with the one you loved.
Well, the one I loved,
which we're not using,
is actually not the one we picked. So this was my favorite of all the ones submitted, but we didn't pick it. The Ron Swanson Hour, and then I assume was submitted by the same person, the Ron Swanson Section.
Yes.
I love both of those because Ron Swanson is a hero of mine. The reason we don't use them is twofold. We didn't pick them for two reasons. One, it's Ron Swanson. It's probably trademarked, and we don't want to get sued.
That's the most important reason.
But the other one is, it's hilarious, but only if you know who Ron Swanson is, and it's possible that not everyone does. Although, if we name the segment that, maybe they'll go out and Google Ron Swanson find out.
Yeah, but not only would you have to know who Ron Swanson is, but they'd have to have met you.
It makes a lot more sense if you've met me in person. Yeah, that's true.
So you need, it's like a two-part question combined together.
But those were far and away my favorites.
I particularly enjoyed Terrain Talk and the Woodworks. I thought those were kind of cool.
Yeah, I like those.
I mean, they were all just really good in different ways.
Yeah.
Just trying to fit our need. And for me, one of the things that I was trying to wrestle with was 44% of the votes were for the MDF Corner. So did that mean we should just go with it because that got more votes than any other option? But really, not to be unfair, but we get final say because it's the show we run.
We do. And the issue with MDF Corner or some of the other MDF select, and there's quite a few that have MDF in the title, is not all the stuff is MDF. That's kind of quibbly and nitpicky, and maybe that's not a good reason to say no. But that was part of it.
I wanted something short and snappy.
Does need to be short and snappy, yeah.
Because as is, when we do the segment, we'll say it's the whatever segment, and name here, sponsored by Things in the Basement. So, like, that's a whole long thing for our segment.
Yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, do you want to say which one we finally decided to go with?
Well, I thought I'd let you have that pleasure and honor.
All right, well, considering that the section is geared towards MDF, HDF, that kind of terrain making, and not general terrain making, like, you know, rivers, trees, whatever, we decided it should be something that was, that expressed that, but for the reasons previously stated, we didn't want to go with just, you know, MDF blank. So what we decided to actually go with was a submission titled The Lumber Mill, since that should cover almost any kind of wood.
I think it does a good job. And I also like the fact that lumber mills, and part of being creative, they're also destructive. And as we know, I'm really good when it comes to MDF terrain.
And when it comes to battle damage.
So I felt it was fitting for that as well.
Yeah, and when it comes to MDF terrain kits, yours are some of the easiest ones to put together, and I don't know how you manage to have trouble with them, but yeah.
It's a talent I've worked on over many decades.
Yeah.
To just be really good at creating that battle damage. And I've told Jorg that he should offer versions where I will battle damage stuff for people. And I've yet to be taken up on it, but the offer stands. I will battle damage your kits for you. I'm happy to, really.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Don't you think I should battle? Do you want me to battle damage your kits for you?
No, just stay as far away from mine as possible.
So we have this new segment with its name ready to go. So why don't we talk about Lumber Mill?
All right, go ahead.
Sponsored by Things from the Basement. So I have a tip that I'd like to share with all of you. I've been working on the Yamashiro Mountain Fort wall set, which is their part of the feudal Japanese kit range that they have over Things from the Basement. The walls are gorgeous. Beautifully done, but I was not so smart in how I handled it.
No kidding.
And I'm working on it.
Everyone is shocked.
But I think people should learn from my mistakes. So I decided I was going to assemble it all because I was all like, just really like, yay, let's get it going. And then it wasn't until after that I realized, well, wait, you know, there's a lot of like nooks and crannies here to kind of paint. And I didn't really want to spend hours and hours and hours with a small brush painting them.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to figure out what to do about that. And I talked with Jorg, and he had great advice that I'd love to share with all of you. So one thing that he does is he, like, will create sub-assemblies, which I like to do as well. I mean, it makes sense. Like, you don't need to build a whole house, right? But, like, if there's five parts for building a roof, build the roof first, right?
Right.
Do a separate thing. But not only will he construct those sub-assemblies, but he will paint them before he does the rest. So he paints the sub-assemblies that he's built. But a lot of the times, he will paint everything first before constructing, except for sub-assemblies.
Yeah.
And when he paints, he uses spray paint for almost every single thing. So he uses Rust-Oleum, which you can get at do-it-yourself home store, anywhere really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's here in the U.S. would be just about.
Literally anywhere, Walmart.
Yeah. I think they all carry
it. All the stores, pretty much everywhere.
And he just has many different colors. And be like, okay, this sprue is for... Can you call it a sprue in MDF?
Yeah.
This sprue is, you know, the roof, for example. And so just spray painted the colors. So he never base coats anything by hand.
Yeah, I don't usually base coat MDF either. I've never found it to be necessary. I mean, you hear horror stories about the wood, like, sucking up the paint, and I've never had it happen.
Me neither, not in this. And, like, this would have saved me. So, if you get the wall set or anything else like this that looks like has a lot of nooks and crannies or just little areas that's going to require more of a detail or fine detail brush, paint it on the sprue, spray paint it.
Yep.
So, just go buy a bunch of different spray paints of different colors and hit it and get that going. Now, if you live in an area where it's hard to spray paint, because you should do it outdoors, right?
You should. I don't, but you should.
You can wear a mask. Be safe. Maybe go in your basement if you have such a thing, or a shed. Get a box. Put your stuff in the box. Spray into the box. Yeah. Follow all the other standards for use there and whatever caution is on the container. Because We don't want to get hurt.
Nope, nope.
And want to be safe when you do it. But otherwise, do it outside. You can do a quick whatever. You can get the stuff going. And then you can assemble. And that would have saved me tons of time. I'm almost done painting my walls.
That is exciting. So you're almost done with the fort then?
No.
No.
So, the walls are almost done. I want to use some Citadel textured paint on the base where the ground is to give it a little. And then some gamer's grass or Leadbeer's Tufts. I have both to just kind of do it. And then I got to hit it with Delco. But what I also have to do, next thing I'm going to do, because we did a poll as well on Facebook, is I'm going to build the commander's house.
Oh, right, right.
So I have to do that. And that's the last kit I have for right now. But there's still other stuff. There's like a palisade wall to go. There's a taller watchtower that I don't have. There's two guard barracks buildings. There's a taller one. And then one that kind of has like, it's crinkle paper, I think, for like flaps. And there's, I forget what they call it. They call them tates or tates, which are like shield kind of things that you can kind of go. And then that'll be it. And the Yarmouk-Sherrow Mountain Fort will be finished. Okay. And I'm excited about that. But since you and I recently talked about having like a hobby slump, I had a mini hobby slump with this because this is kind of like an albatross around my neck. I'm so discouraged by what I've done with the walls.
Yeah.
And I just like, I'll go and I'll do a little bit. I'll be like, I'm done. And then I don't want to tackle it anymore. And I really want it to be assembling stuff. So what I've done instead was I have some industrial vents and a small window air conditioner unit that goes great with their industrial line. And
I was going to say, because that doesn't seem to fit in with the Yarmouk-Sherrow Mountain Fort.
No, not so much. Well, I mean, it lives through time, doesn't it? So I built those, and just it was really cool to be building them. And the small AC was a little fiddly, but what helped me is I have this whole tweezer set that I bought because of the gamer's grass and that to really get them down easier.
Yeah.
I can put a link up on social media to it. So I use that to kind of help hold stuff and put stuff in place while the glue dried. But the vents are amazing. So there's a curve to the vents. And with MDF, it's wood, right? So wood doesn't bend that much usually, unless you steam it or something.
Yeah.
But the way that Jorg created this, he's kind of scored along in the back. So it's not just scoring, but it actually adds texture. Because,
yeah.
I mean, MDF's flat, so like you don't usually get a whole lot of texture on it. And you carefully bend it, and I swear to God, I thought I was going to break it because I battle damage stuff, right?
Yeah.
I did not. So it's so well made that that did not happen to me at all. And I just think that everyone should get these. They're like $6.95, I think. They're cool little things to
have. He's got a bunch of them laying on the table here at the I'm not sure what to call it. The game day.
Yeah.
I was going to call it a convention. I was going to call
it's a mini con.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, yeah, they're really nice. And they're good. We talk about this a lot with Jorg's stuff, but the scatter train stuff. So he's got like roof air conditioners. The one John's talking about, or an actual window air conditioner unit that you could glue onto the side of a modern building or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just adds a kind of a neat little detail touch that you don't usually see.
No.
And that's one of the best things that Things from the Basement has to offer. I mean, all the stuff is good, but the best stuff that he has to offer, for my money, is that kind of little scatter terrain-y detail, ooh, I have never seen this anywhere before kind of stuff. So,
you know, you're right. It's amazing what he has for offer with that, and you can tell that that kind of scatter terrain is a passion of his.
Yeah.
And, like, these vents were amazing, just kind of the way they go and how it assembles and it just went together really easily. And that bend, like, that just really got me.
Yeah.
That was a great way to design it, to do it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I would have fully expected that to, like, fall apart into three pieces. But
I really thought it was going to break on me. I was like, I'm going to do it, but it's going to snap, and I'll have to get another one. And it didn't, so if it works for me, it can work for you.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you should be sure to check out those. Head on over to thingsfromthebasement.com. I want to thank them for being a sponsor of this segment of the show. If you have any tips or tricks that you want us to talk about, or maybe you have a favorite MDF kit that you'd love us to discuss on the Lumber Mill segment, as I get used to the name, be sure to send it in to us. We're on social media, or email it to me, jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. I love MDF kits. I never thought I would, but I really do.
Yeah, no, I do too. I've said in the past, and it remains true, that I've had some some challenges putting together things from foreground. But foreground is a whole different ballgame. I mean, their kits are very, well, they're incredibly detailed, but along with that detail comes a lot of fiddly bits, which isn't my favorite thing to mess with. But no, as a whole, MDF, I mean, it's not news anymore, but it's the way to go for terrain, in my opinion, over resin or pretty much anything else.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, it's cheaper. That's not always true, but generally speaking.
I think so.
And you can really do just about anything with it, it seems. So.
No, I think you're right. And a new thing, at least to me anyway, by being here at the Makers Faire, is that at the Things in the Basement booth, Jorg was selling pre-built build-ins. Now, in the past, he would have some maybe that were for display, that were painted and stuff he was just trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
That's not how I mean. That he was trying to sell to free up space that could help someone. But, like, he actually had a whole array of pre-assembled terrain pieces that you could buy to save yourself some time.
Yeah.
And I some people wouldn't like that, but I think that's great because you can still paint it if you want, and it saves you the time so you can get it on the table that much quicker.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know that he'll offer it through the website just because the logistics of packaging that and stuff would be a little
yeah
iffy.
I mean, some of the stuff is well, it's, some of it's on the delicate side. I mean, like just a house or something like that would probably be okay, but yeah, I don't know if it would be a regular thing on the website or not. It would be cool if it was, but
well, that's
it's something to keep an eye out for, though.
Make sure you come to an event that they're vending at, and I think the next one they're doing is Fallen, I believe. So if you go to Fallen, check it out, because I bet he'll have stuff.
I want to go to Fall In. I'm not going to Fall In.
Oh. You could hit up at another event. They'll be at Adrian. I'm sure you can get stuff. And you mentioned foreground. I believe we have some foreground stuff on the way for us to review.
Oh, cool.
It'll be their version of Things in the Basement kits. So it'll be all painted, as it were.
Right, right.
And everything. So it'll be
yeah,
cool to check that out.
That's the huge advantage foreground gives you. And I mean, here again, I'm not spreading news or anything. It's not anything that everybody listening to the show doesn't know. But
maybe they don't.
Obviously, their kits are, for the most part, pre-painted. So even though they tend to be, in my opinion, a little more difficult to assemble, once you're done, you're done. You don't have to paint the thing. So that's a big advantage.
Yeah, that's really nice. And that's all I have about MDF kits and
yeah.
All that. I do want to say for listeners, we will hopefully soon be getting the new static grass mat from Killing Fields Terrain distributed by the Wargaming Company. And when we do, we'll cover that on the show. I'm really excited about that mat.
Yeah.
It's so unlike anything else I've seen.
Yeah, it is. Might more excited about that one than I was about the fur mat.
Me
so,
too.
Yeah, be anxious to see it. So I might be ordering two mats and no bottles the next order I place with the Wargaming Company. We'll see.
Make sure you reach that 200 limit so you get the free shipping.
Right, right, because we said that at the beginning of the show.
And, I mean, if you're going to order anyway, like, when you figure out the price of the two mats, if you're just a little short, it's almost criminal to not just add something else in.
Yeah, depending on how close you are, it would just be dumb.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I think you should do that and get that checked out. Well, if people want to stay in touch with you and see what's going on with you, what's the best way to do it nowadays?
As usual, the easiest way to keep in touch with me is through the Facebook groups. If you really want to, you can reach out on Twitter at abenson229.
Cool. And we are on all the things as Wargaming Recon. You can find the podcast where other fine podcasts are played and obtained and distributed. And on social media and everything as wargamingrecon.com. We have the, like you said, the fan group. We also have the official Facebook page. We're on Twitter. We're on Insta. We're on Snapchat. We're on, I can't think of anything else. I think that's all the things that we're on. We're everywhere.
We are.
We're like,
we're on things that I'm not on. Snapchat, for example.
You don't snap?
No, I don't.
We're like the static grass that you apply to a base.
Oh, here we go.
That gets everywhere. 5 days later, you're looking at your shoes as you put them on. You're like, what's that down there? It's some static grass that happened to go when you were doing some basing. That's what we're like. The static grass on your shoe. What's the here we go about?
Nothing. Just the whole cheesy analogy thing that you... Tortured cheesy analogy.
It wasn't that tortured. It's true. We get everywhere. And whether you want us or not, we're going to stick on your shoe And then days later, you'll think about us and go, maybe I should do something about that. But you won't. And so you'll listen to us again. And we are grateful for that.
We are grateful for that.
I love that we're here at the Makers Faire in Amherst, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, not Massachusetts.
Unlike what some people have said.
Despite what you may have heard before on this very show.
Yes. Good turnout. Some great vendors. We've chatted with some of them and have videos coming out. Or may have already come out, depending on when you hear this.
Depending, yeah.
So it's very cool.
Yeah, the videos are very dependent on my editing speed. So, yeah, maybe this time next year.
Yeah, you'll get them out. Anything else you'd like to add, Adrian?
No.
Well, thank you all, everyone, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. As you know, we are most appreciative for your time and that you welcome us into your listening holes. Open up your ears. I had to make you laugh. And just we really appreciate it. And we appreciate that you come to us and you like to hear what we have to say. And we value as an audience. So know that no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter, yes?
Nothing.
How much time you think you need to go and hang out and spend at a Maker's Day game fair like the one in Amherst, New Hampshire.
Not Massachusetts.
You know that you have to. You gotta. You need to. Keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by The Wargaming Company. Wish you could play a great Napoleonics wargame that's different from the same old stuff? Try ESR. ESR makes Napoleonics accessible, a complete system with you as the core commander. Start an army with ESR box sets or use your existing collection. It's meaty enough for diehards, but friendly for newcomers. Visit thewargamingcompany.com. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. You never know, do you?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm not a good person, but then I find out that even if I'm not, it doesn't really bother me.
We will leave that in because that's valuable right there.
I don't think it's going to take anybody by surprise.
Probably not. Okay.
Do your thing. Do the corny intro. Do it. Here we go. We're going to be here for 15 minutes.
You can't do this to me. You know I'm a laugher. Oh, my goodness.
All right, I'll just sit here and try and figure out how the crossover episode is going to work.
A crossover episode?
Yeah. Black Seas and
oh, that.
Black Powder.